Welcome to Union Congregational Church, a church in the United Church of Christ, where no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And we are very grateful that you are with us today. I can't figure out how to get this back. While I figure that out, let me start with an announcement. There we go. Okay. That's a thing on my iPad that I've never seen before. Huh. There we go. Now I have the right worship order in front of me. Technology. So, my big announcement this morning is the just kind of a reminder of sort of where we're at. Next Sunday is the Sunday before Christmas Eve, which means that it starts the week before Christmas. Next Sunday, the 22nd, we will have our two regular worship services at 8:30 and 9:30, and then on that Sunday at 7 o'clock, we will have a Blue Christmas service. So several of you who have been at this service before, but some of us might not have been, and some of us might not know not remember what it is. So just a reminder of what that is. So a Blue Christmas service is a space that you can come and that you can be. If this time of year is difficult for you for any reason, for many people, we are grieving the loss of people that we used to celebrate Christmas with. We are grieving those who have died, those who we are estranged from. We are grieving other difficulties, job loss, how the weather can make disability and mental health conditions more difficult and more apparent, you know, all sorts of other ways that this is just not an easy time of year for folks. So if that sounds like you, you are welcome to come and be here. And we will hold space for you. We will pray and cry and be together as in whatever ways we need to be, and know that God cares for us as we prepare for the rest of the holiday season, when society might expect us to be joyful and celebratory. So that is there for you. If and as you need. And then on Christmas Eve, we will have two services, 4 and 7. And the 4 o'clock will be a little bit more family-oriented with some children's activities and such. And then our 7 o'clock will be a little bit more traditional with the choir singing and that sort of thing. Although, of course, anybody is welcome at any of our services all throughout the year. You know, that's the important thing to remember too. And so you can choose which of those two services best fits your schedule and your traditions and such. And if neither of them fit your schedule, we are looking at we're looking at live streaming through YouTube. So we will and going direct to YouTube instead of having the services be put on YouTube later on. So we are so that you can watch it, you know, whenever you want to watch it on Christmas Eve or shortly thereafter. You know, if a different time works better for you. Let's see. Becky, do you have an announcement for us?
Good morning. Just one this morning. The Giving Tree. We will take donations kind of through tomorrow, or if I know they're coming, you know, just let me know, or let Alana in the office know. We want to get them to Amber McLean, who runs the Reach program through the schools, early part of this week so that she can distribute them on Thursday and Friday before the kids go on Christmas break. If you give monetarily, please give in cash, because then it gives me a chance to quick go buy them and give that all to Amber, where if you do a check, then I got to figure out how to cash the check and how to change it into cash so I can buy them. So anyway, it does go to families in the Reach Waupun program, so it's a wonderful cause. So if you can give, you can give it to Alana or myself, or just put it in the offering. As long as it's marked for the Giving Tree, it'll go get to the right place. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Becky. Are there any other announcements this morning for the good of the community here? Seeing none, we are going to share the peace of Christ with one another. One way we can do that, in addition to all of the different ways we normally do it, is because we are celebrating the Sunday of Joy and lighting the candle of joy. You might say to your neighbor, "The joy of Christ be with you." So let's share the peace of Christ with one another. Good morning. The joy of Christ be with you. Good morning. Good morning. The joy of Christ be with you.
Unexpectedly found a little helper this morning. Please join me in the call to worship and rise, if you will. As John baptized new converts, he invited them to live with changed hearts and lives. When he asked how to do this, his answers all point to making sure no one is cheated or left without the basic necessities of life, including the right to not be harassed. All life of joy, which the prophet Isaiah describes as an ever-flowing spirit, is birthright children of God. We act to you. Please join me in the unison prayer. God of love and abundance, you come to us so that your joy may be in us and our joy may be full. Fill us with your spirit, that we may know and rejoice in your presence and grace. Speak your word to us and bless us that we may always be joyful, gentle, and prayerful. In the spirit of Christ, amen. Go ahead.
Our opening hymn this morning is number 161. People, one of my favorite Advent hymns, People Look East. We'll be singing 1, 3, and 4.
Thank you.
Now we will invite the Vandenberg family to light the candle of joy.
We light the candle of joy. Soon we will celebrate the birth of Jesus. We worship God with joy in our hearts as we are reminded of the words the angel said on the first Christmas day. Behold, bring the good news of a great joy which will come to all people. From John 15:9-11, as the Creator loved me, I too have loved you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love. Just as I have kept my Creator's commandments, you remain in God's love. I have said these things to you so that my joy will be in you and your joy will be complete. We light this candle to proclaim the coming of the light of God into the world. With the coming of this light, there is joy, joy that is ours not only at Christmas but always. Please pray with me. O Holy One, as Christmas draws near, there is a sense of excitement in the air. We can feel a joy in our lives and see it in those around us. Still, for some, this is a sad time because of unhappy things that have happened in our lives. Help us to have the joy that does not depend on earthly happiness, but on you. Help us to be filled with your joy so that we may share it with a joyless world. Amen.
Thank you, Tricia and Bentley. We're adding a verse today. Let's sing together. We light a candle for hope and a world that's longing for hope. We light a candle for hope and a world that's longing for hope. Light a candle for peace and a world that's longing for peace. We light a candle for peace and a world that's longing for peace. Holy One, shine with the fire of our lives. Light a candle for peace and a world that's longing for peace. We light a candle for joy and a world that's longing for joy. We light a candle for joy and a world that's longing for joy. Shine with the fire of our lives. Oh, we light a candle for joy and a world that's longing for joy. Now we will invite any young worshipers who are with us to come join Becky and I up on the steps.
All right, who's coming? Okay, we got Blake, we got Liam, we got Mava. All right, super. How are you guys this morning? Good.
Good morning, everybody.
Good. I got something for you. Take a look. You see the little blue? Oh, we got another person up there. All right, we got two more. Come on over. Is Harriet Laird your grandma? Yeah. Well, welcome. We love having you here today. Thanks for coming up. All right. My name's Becky, okay? Or Miss Becky, sometimes the kids call me. All right, let's see, I gotta bring out my note cards. Because whenever I don't use note cards, my mind has a lot of squirrel moments. Have you ever heard of the Lamb of God? Anybody? Have you ever heard of the Lamb of God?
No.
Seen a lot of kids shake their head no. Do you know who the Lamb of God or who the Lamb of God represents? Any guesses? Any guesses? Look at the blue tag. Let's see if that is. Let's see the blue tag on these are lambs right here. These are little lambs, and they say on the front of them, it says, Jesus, Lamb of God. Ooh, that might give us a hint. You have an idea now?
Yeah.
Who's the Lamb of God?
I think it's because of the candles, because it says, fill your heart with heart, peace, and joy, and that's two of the ones that are out there, so it might be one of those.
That is a very intelligent, accurate answer.
Oh my gosh,
good job, Liam. Yeah, it also has a little tag that says, May the gift of God's Son, Jesus, fill your heart with peace and joy. And today, we celebrate joy. So yeah, the answer to who's the Lamb of God? The Lamb of God represents Jesus, okay? And we'll soon be celebrating Jesus' birth. But it is the sacrifice on Good Friday that allows us as humans to have everlasting joy. But I'm going to talk more about that when it comes Easter time. We'll talk about the everlasting joy. For now,
a preview.
Yeah, exactly, a preview. For now, I just want you to know that this lamb represents joy. Keep it with you throughout this Advent and Christmas season, and let it remind you of the joy and happiness that we get from following Jesus. Pastor Jacob, will you lead us in prayer?
Absolutely. I will, as usual, I will say a short phrase, and I invite you to repeat it back to me. Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For helping us.
For helping us.
Find the joy.
Find the joy.
Of following Jesus.
Of following Jesus.
Help us.
Help us.
Share the joy.
Share the joy.
In a world.
In the world.
Where some people.
Where some people.
Are sad.
Are sad.
Where some people.
Where some people.
Are lonely.
Are lonely.
Help us.
Help us.
Remember.
Remember.
That the joy of Jesus.
That the joy of Jesus.
Lives in our hearts.
Lives in our hearts.
And we can share it with others.
And we can share it with others.
Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for coming up, everybody.
To Leland. All right. Okay, guys. Back to Sunday school today.
Enjoy Sunday school.
Old Testament scripture is Isaiah 12, verses 2 through 6. God is indeed my salvation. I will trust and won't be afraid. Yea, the Lord is my strength and my shield. God has become my salvation. You will draw water with joy from the springs of salvation, and you will say on that day, thank the Lord, call on God's name, proclaim God's deeds among the peoples, declare that God's name is exalted. Sing to the Lord who has done glorious things. Proclaim this throughout all the earth. Shout and sing for joy, city of Zion, because the Holy One of Israel is great among you. The New Testament scripture reading is from Luke chapter 3, verses 7 through 18. Then Jesus said to the crowds who came to be baptized by him, you children of snakes, who warned you to escape from the angry judgment that is coming soon? Produce fruit that shows you have changed your hearts and lives, and don't even think about saying to yourselves, Abraham is our father. I tell you that God is able to raise up Abraham's children from these stones. The axe is already at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that doesn't produce good fruit will be chopped down and tossed into the fire. The crowds asked him, what then should we do? He answered, whoever has two shirts must share one
with the one who has none, and whomever has food must do the same. Even tax collectors came to be baptized. They said to him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He replied, "Collect no more than you are authorized to collect." The soldiers asked, "What about us? What should we do?" He answered, "Don't cheat or harass anyone, and be satisfied with your pay." The people were filled with expectation, and everyone wondered whether John might be Christ. John replied to them, "I baptize you with water, but the one who is more powerful than me is coming. I'm not worthy to loosen the strap of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. The shovel he uses to sift the wheat from the husks is in his hands. He will clean out his threshing area and bring the wheat into his barn, but he will burn the husks with a fire that cannot be put out." With many other words, John appealed to them, proclaiming good news to the people. Here ends the readings for today. May God bless us as we learn from these holy words. Amen.
Thank you, Diane. My friends, let's pray. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts in this hour be acceptable to you, for you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. So I had a lot of good friends growing up, some of whom I've talked about in previous sermons. Today I want to talk to you about one of my first friends and what I and people around me learned from her. So as someone growing up with a disability, it wasn't always easy for me to fit in and for me to have friends, because I walked differently. I needed accommodations that other students didn't need, and all sorts of different ways that life was sometimes a little bit different for me. But I'm going to tell you about a friend of mine that I had I've had since early in elementary school, named Annie. Now, Annie was somebody who was always sort of right by my side and was willing to help me with whatever was needed. Now, you know those little tiny milk cartons that you got in your school lunches, right? I had trouble opening those, and there was actually one day that in my quest trying to open this carton of milk, the entire thing spilled into my lap, and it was really annoying. And in case you're wondering, an entire carton of chocolate milk is not what you want to have in your lap, right? You know, so Annie saw this happen, and every day after that, before Annie would touch her own lunch, without me asking her at all, she just all of a sudden would open that carton of milk, and then she would touch her own lunch and eat her own lunch. So my parents tell this story because when I was growing up, it was, you know, because it was hard for me to make friends and because I was different, right? My parents were wondering, as most parents do, you know, what does it look like for him to have friends, and what does it look like for him to sort of grow and have what he needs? And my dad came and had lunch with me and my classmates one day, and he saw this happen. He saw that Annie opened this carton of milk, and There were no words exchanged between us or anything, and Annie just sort of knew to do it. And it was then that my dad knew that I was going to be just fine as long as Annie was around. And there was another time that Annie saw injustice brewing. She saw a kid who was bullying me on the playground, and she went and punched him in the face. In a showing of vigilante justice, if you will. So I've come to believe that everybody in this world needs somebody like Annie, right? Everybody needs somebody to love them, to protect them, to care for them, to be always by your side, helping you with things and modeling for others that it's important to do the same. And I titled this sermon, Joy and Having Enough, because I believe that joy and having enough are intimately interconnected. I'm gonna talk about how the Gospel of Luke shows that in today's reading. So first, let me set the scene a little bit. Lots of people are coming to John the Baptist to be baptized by him. And some people think that he is the Messiah. Some people think that he's Jesus because they've been told for a long time about somebody who will come to liberate them from their oppression. And John makes it very clear that I am not that guy. I am not that guy. I am not even worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. And yet, you think that I'm going to be that guy, but I will baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. But before he goes and answers their question, he is not afraid to call them out on their crap, right? He has come to tell the crowd that soon Jesus will come and take out the trash. Jesus will come my thing is coming off. I'm getting excited, I guess. that Jesus is going to come and judge the world for the ways that we act and the ways that we treat one another. And so he tells the crowd sort of to shape up. Because the crowd automatically assumes that they are that they're doing fine because they're descendants of Abraham, right? So John says, no, you've lost the plot here. He reminds them that if they really want to be aligned with God's will, they have to live in such a way that God's call actually means something to them. That they have to live with changed hearts and lives. So naturally, the crowd asks, how do we do that? And John the Baptist gives practical directives to several different groups of people. Give food to the hungry, clothe the needy. Don't cheat people out of money that you are not owed. Don't harass anybody or treat somebody in a way that compromises their dignity. Jesus is coming. And Jesus is going to judge us for our actions in ways that other people don't have the power to do. Jesus is going to remind us of what is most important, and Jesus is going to teach us how to live. To add to this, Dr. Marcia McPhee, who authored our Advent worship series, reminds us earlier in our liturgy, in the call to worship that we read together, that a full life of joy is the birthright of all children of God. In other words, everybody has the right to live into the fullness of their humanity, knowing that they will not be cheated, that they will not be treated poorly, that they will have what they need. Now, my friend Annie is a very quiet, humble, shy woman. And she would probably balk at this comparison, thinking that she couldn't possibly be as important as John the Baptist. But in a way, it sort of feels like she was the exemplar for our friends about how to treat not only me, but everybody. Other people that society might push aside or ostracize in some way. She knew that I and all of our friends had the right to be loved for who we are, and that we have an opportunity to create the world that we want to see through the actions that we do, through the things that we do. Now, we have one more Sunday of Advent before we celebrate the coming of Jesus Christ into our lives once again. How are we at this church going to live into what John the Baptist said to the crowd, and therefore what John the Baptist and Jesus say to us? This is the good news, my friends. The teachings of Jesus call for a world where everybody knows dignity and sufficiency. Only when everybody knows dignity and sufficiency can everybody live in joy. Now, this congregation understands how to treat one another with dignity, and this congregation understands how to ensure that everybody has what they need. We're very good at helping each other when times are hard and when we know that a need arises. We also understand, my gosh, this is really bothering me today. We also understand that this is not something that just happens at Christmas, when the rest of society finally realizes that it's time to fill the food pantries and donate clothes to the community clothes closet. We understand that John the Baptist, and therefore Jesus, calls us to do that kind of work all year round. It's not just about writing checks. It's not just about putting a couple hours in at the local volunteer organization. It's about spreading the joy that is found when we love one another as Jesus loves us. And so this week, may you go into a world of need, sharing the love, dignity, and compassion that you have found in your own life. As you think about the people that have given you what you need, who are the Annies in your life? Who are the people that protected you, that watched over you, that opened up your carton of milk so that it didn't spill all over your lap? Who are those people in your life? And when you think about who those people are in your life, may you be that for somebody else. You are kind, generous, loving, caring people. I know that all of these qualities are so evident in the way you live in community with one another and in the way you live your life. May you do all of these things, not because Jesus is coming to judge the world and take out the trash. May you do these things because it is the right thing to do, the Christian thing to do. And it's the Christian way of being compassionate and caring to one another, giving people what they need. May you do so because it is the way that everybody lives into joy. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our next hymn is number 176, Lift Up Your Heads, O Mighty Gates. We'll be singing verses 1 through 3. May be seated. Now we enter into a time of more intentional prayer, where we think of all of those people and situations who need our prayers and our love today. So let us take a time of silence as we prepare our hearts to pray for all of those people and situations. And do that now together. Receive the prayers of our hearts, O God. Amen. So I have a couple of prayer requests that I have been given. Paul Hartel had foot surgery on Thursday, and he has a long road of recovery ahead of him. So For Paul and his wife, Josie, God in your mercy. We also ask for prayers for the family of Sharon Peters. As you saw in your email, I sent you an email saying that Sharon Peters passed from life to life on Tuesday. A celebration of her life was held at Warner Harmson yesterday. So for Dick and his daughters, their daughters, and all who know and love Sharon, God in your mercy. We also ask for prayers for Rick Hartrink, because Rick's cancer has returned. We ask for prayers for Rick and his medical team, and for Abe and Abby and Mary as they support him. God, in your mercy. And then also I'll add, there has been an outpouring of love and support for my mother, Melanie. I had told you last week that her cancer had come back, and thank you for your support for myself and for my family. God, in your mercy. Receive our prayer. What other prayers do we bring today? Yeah, Rick. Alana's coming with a microphone.
Took a bit longer than expected, but we have a second granddaughter in Montreal as of this week.
Woohoo! Congratulations. Yes.
Just wanted to wish my mom a happy birthday today.
We've got a couple birthdays, I think. So let's sing together. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Lois. Happy birthday to you. Lois and Dorothy. Yes, yes indeed. Wonderful. We pray a prayer of thanks for all of them and for the ways that they enrich our church and our lives. Any other prayers this morning? Anything on Zoom?
I have one on Zoom from the Champion family. A prayer request for gratitude. I believe their son Harry walked away from a car accident coming home from work.
Oh my gosh.
He was rear-ended on an interstate ramp and pushed into the truck in front of him. Car was totaled, but he had just minor injuries, so grateful for his being unhurt. Cars can be replaced, bodies not so much.
Wow. Yes, indeed. Prayers of thanksgiving for Harry's protection. God in your mercy.
And then also just prayers for world peace and harmony.
Yes, indeed. God in your mercy. Anything else today? Yeah, yeah. We give thanks for Harriet being here and for her family bringing her here today. She said it's a long time since I've been able to be here in church, and really great. She's really grateful to be here. And if anybody wants to bring Harriet to church in the future, give her a call. With thanksgiving for Harriet's presence with us, God in your mercy. Anything else today? Okay. Lots of prayers today. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. So let's be in a time of prayer together. God, in your grace and love, you gather us here to remind us that it is our responsibility to help other people live into joy. You remind us that even in a joyless world, there are ways that we can share that joy with one another by bringing each other to church, by bringing new life into the world and celebrating that together, by sharing birthdays and giving thanks for each other's presence in our lives. We also know that there are lots of people who are hurting at the moment as they recover from surgery, deal with cancer diagnoses, deal with grieving the loss of beloved family members. Help us share the joy in our hearts by sharing compassion, and sharing love, and sharing hope in the midst of difficult circumstances. We also turn our attention to those who are suffering in the wider world because of food insecurity, poverty, homelessness, discrimination, war, conflict. For all of those who are living in abusive situations. for those for whom this season is difficult for one way, reason or the other. We ask you to be with all of us and all of those who need your presence the most in these times. And we ask you to empower us to share the joy that is in our hearts. And we pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus, who is our joy and who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The time has come to offer our gifts back to God. Here at Union Congregational Church, we give thanks for all gifts that are given, whether through time, talent, treasure, or prayer. As ushers come around, you may place an offering in the offering plate, or you can give online at ucc.wapan.net. But however you give, may you give generously, knowing that your gift will impact both this ministry and the community at large. And please give generously as your heart and spirit invite you to give. Doxology and rise if it's comfortable for you to do so. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Praise God above, ye heavenly host, Creator Christ and Holy Ghost. Join me in the prayer of dedication. God of holy darkness and returning light, we give of our full hearts, knowing that you will bless this world with love. We give of our full minds, knowing that you will bless this world with peace. We give of our full souls, knowing that you will bless this world with hope. May the joy of your gifts creating your realm here on earth. Amen. Today's closing carol is "What Child Is This?" that invites peasants and kings to claim Christ as their own. And the Glory to God hymnal changes this to "One and All." Chatteron Dix was not a clergy person like most of the hymn writers of the 19th century. He was a businessman in England, and he asks the question, "Why lies he in such mean estate?" referring to the stable. And in the original second verse answers by connecting the humble wooden birth manger to the wood of the cross borne at his death. And this verse is, "Why lies he in such mean estate where ox and ass are feeding? good Christian here for sinners, good Christian fear for sinners here, the silent word is pleading. Nail's spear shall pierce him through the cross, born for me, for you. Hail the world, hail, hail the world, word made flesh, the babe, the son of Mary. I can't talk today, apparently. True joy acknowledges the suffering of the world and invites all people, regardless of status, to claim Christ's grace and joy as salve for the soul. May we offer warm laps and soft lullabies to soothe a hurting world, and may we sing together, What Child Is This? My friends, receive these words of benediction. May God's door of welcome swing open in your heart and in your life. May Christ's humble first dwelling remind you of the plenty you already know. And may the Spirit lead you into more possibility and hospitality than you can imagine, making room in the inn for all. May it be so for you, may it be so for us, may it be so for this church. And now may the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the peace of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. Go in joy. Amen.